CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. And we go to our colleague in Canada, Charles Burton, of the McDonnell Laurier Institute, for a comment on breaking news. Ottawa, Dateline Ottawa. The federal government is blaming Chinese state-sponsored cyber activity for a recent, quote, unprecedented and indiscriminate exploitation, end quote, of Microsoft Exchange servers in an attack, they say, continues to put Canadians' intellectual property and personal information at risk. In a joint statement issued, Foreign Affairs Minister Mark Carneau, Defense Minister Harjit Sejan, and Public Safety Minister Bill Blair said Canada is confident that China's Ministry of State Security was behind the recent Microsoft Exchange server hack. Charles, this looks like unanimity in the cabinet, a cabinet that heretofore has been associated with an unknown to soft policy on China. Is this a change in the weather? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, one certainly hopes that the Canadian government is starting to understand the nature of that regime. I mean, a few years ago, when there were reports of Chinese state hacking for economic espionage purposes, both the U.S. president and the Canadian prime minister had discussions with the Chinese authorities saying that, you know, that if you're going to do the hacking, the rules of the game are that you hack political and military matters. You know, the United States has the National Security Agency. I used to work at the Canadian equivalent, the Communications Security Establishment. And, you know, we didn't assist commercial enterprises in achieving a competitive advantage. So, you know, we wouldn't spy on American competitors of Canadian companies for the purpose of assisting them to improve their position. China agreed that they would restrict their cyber espionage to, you know, the standard political and military realm and wouldn't use it to further the interests of Chinese state business or to engage in overall espionage, you know, in the purloining of personnel files and personal information about people living outside China for use for future espionage or subversion. China clearly, from this latest report, where they took control of 400,000 Microsoft Exchange servers around the world, has not been fulfilling their commitment. Is there any surprise there? Not for us, but perhaps it's an important lesson for the Canadian government that when China tells you something, one perhaps should take it with a shovelful of salt.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, with these series of statements from Canada, the United States, European Union, NATO, various other countries, you know, we learned that ransomware hackers in China, other criminals, are working in close coordination with China's Ministry of State Security. And so it appears that because China runs a near total surveillance state, especially in the internet realm, that China's working, that the Chinese regime itself is involved in this criminal activity. Is this a surprise to you?
Well, I think the relationship between the Chinese Communist Party and criminal organizations, especially the triads, has been well established, you know, in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, and inside China, where, you know, thugs intimidate people to give up their property to Chinese developers at prices which are well below market. So the idea that the Ministry of State Security cooperates with Chinese criminal gangs is nothing new. The fact that they tolerate these gangs engaging in ransomware attacks on foreign enterprises or other forms of computer extortion is, of course, disgraceful and completely inconsistent with the norms of diplomacy and the role of governments, which, you know, after all, should be fighting crime, not facilitating it.
The Prime Minister, has he commented in any fashion about this that is surprising to you, Charles?
Well, it's not surprising in the sense that the government has said that they'll cooperate with our allies to actively deter, defend against, and counter the full spectrum of cyber threats. But there doesn't seem to be any substantive response in terms of sanctioning the Chinese government for this behavior. There seems to be some notion that if we expose it, that the Chinese regime will feel embarrassed and will stop doing it. But what we heard from the Chinese diplomats here in Canada and elsewhere is a complete and utter denial that China engages in any form of cyber espionage whatsoever, and that in fact China is the victim of cyber spying. Well, you know, that kind of statement would not be made by other governments that have been found to engage in political or military espionage. And the fact that China just won't acknowledge that they do it at all suggests that they really are doing it a lot.
Gordon?
Charles, what should we do about China's spying, espionage, and criminal activities?
Well, there has been some suggestion that we should return it in kind and start to spy on Chinese state enterprises and obtain their data and information. But I think what we really have to do is to expel Chinese diplomats who are complicit in this activity and to ensure that we do much, much more to preserve our cybersecurity. You know, there's an illusion that, you know, that there's sort of rules of the game and that people are basically honest and that we don't need to engage in serious measures. But I think the examples of China and to a lesser extent Russia doesn't have the same sort of resources as China does to engage in this massive computer hacking and hoovering up of huge quantities of data, but that this is a reality and that we have to start taking it seriously. And it's the responsibility of government to do that. The government cannot expect, enterprises and business and the companies that sell the software to take on responsibility for security. They just want to get the best and most effective computer communications at the cheapest price. But it's up to the government to be dealing with foreign hacking and state interference. And, you know, this issue is very, very serious as China tries to consolidate its position to achieve its, you know, ambitions of global domination by 2050. And all of this stuff is setting the stage for it, and it weakens the integrity of our democracy, security, and sovereignty. And it's time for government to put the resources and effort into putting a stop to it.
The Prime Minister has indicated there could be an election shortly, in the near term. China can interfere in that election with cyber activity. Is that part of the conversation from Ottawa that you're vulnerable?
Well, I think that certainly the communication security establishment has produced a report on this matter of Chinese interference in elections, and of course the Russians do the same thing. Of course, the Chinese regime, to be frank about it, would likely support the current Liberal government against the conservative alternative, which plans a much more aggressive policy in collaboration with the United States and the Quad, Japan, Australia and India, and our like-minded allies throughout the world to try and give the Chinese government incentive to get into compliance with the rules of diplomacy and trade. But the Liberals have a policy of virtue signaling and, criticizing China, but with no substantive follow-through, and I think that's the way the Chinese authorities like it.
Gordon?
Charles, 4 out of the Five Eyes countries have decided not to include Huawei Technologies 5G equipment in their backbone. Canada is the remaining country yet to make a decision. What's going to happen in Ottawa on this?
Well, this matter, of course, the Canadian government claims they've been looking into it for the past 2.5 years. Well, it's pretty clear that by now you'd have figured out that Huawei is a serious threat to Canadian infrastructure sabotage and to the providing the capability for massive cyber espionage. My concern is that if the government gets a majority in the next election and therefore is not accountable to the people for 4 years after that, in the Canadian system, there aren't a lot of checks and balances, that the elements within the Canadian political establishment that have been captured by China will facilitate Huawei's successful bid for permission to to sell the 5G technology at a considerable discount over their competitors to Canadian telecommunications networks, who would be only too happy to have it because, you know, the equipment is cheaper than the Ericsson or Nokia alternatives. That, of course, would serve the Chinese interest in alienating Canada from our intelligence and defense alliance with the United States, because obviously the U.S. will not be sending a lot of data up north if they know that it could be heading to servers in Beijing on its way to Ottawa.
Charles, we have less than a minute. Do you expect the Prime Minister to change in any fashion after this information? Any statement at all that is not supportive of maintaining status quo? 30 seconds.
I think that there'll be lots of statements because, you know, the Canadian public opinion is down to about 15% of support for enhanced engagement with China because of the hostage diplomacy and other factors. But I frankly have not seen any indication that our government plans any sort of reset of relations with China that would change anything in terms of China's very advantageous position in Canada.
Charles Burton is a senior fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.